So today we're going to be talking about, you know, we're talking about moving forward. Dare to dream again. Dare to dream again. Dare to dream again. Don't stop dreaming. It doesn't matter what has happened before. You failed. You didn't do too well. Get up. It says the righteous fall seven times and they rise up what? Seven times. There should be no stopping the Christian. We're unstoppable. We're born of the power of an endless life. The Bible says that the first Adam was a living soul. The last Adam is a life-giving spirit, a quickening spirit. This quickening means life-giving, restoring the dead to life. So if a situation is dead around you, you can restore it. In fact, when the Bible says in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, it says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. He's talking about the Antichrist here. But the just shall live by faith. The word live there also includes to restore, to revive, to survive, to thrive. So if a dream was dead, you can revive it. You can chart a new course. In Isaiah 48, verse 17, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, and the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. So whenever things go wrong, don't blame anybody. Don't start, you know, because when you play the blame game, you rest your ability to succeed. You feel that if that person had not done what they did, you won't be where you are. And it will make you to settle. What I mean by settle in a bad way. Because you feel you have an excuse. Don't excuse anything. Move forward. Now, in daring to dream again, you need to settle a few things. I've said some of them. There needs to be this clear understanding that a better future is ahead for you. And it is in Christ. A better future is ahead for you, and it's in Christ. That future is not outside of Christ. Don't leave Christ because something didn't work. Oh, a relationship failed. Business failed. Things were working. You figured that things were working for you when you were in the world. And so now that you're in Christ, it looks as if it's not working. And they told you that when you come to Christ, in Christ, we go from glory to glory. But it looks like you're going from glory to grass. Settle it in your heart. God is the one who teaches us to profit and leads us in the way that we should go. You can't have a better tomorrow outside of Christ. You cannot. It's just not possible. Because the super has been taken out and it's just the natural. So you're walking on ordinary human strength. The enemy tries to erase the bad part of when you were in the world and makes you see just some good things about the past. That's what makes people backslide. Look at the children of Israel. They said, you brought us to this desert to kill us. Let's stone him. We remember the garlic that we were eating in Egypt and the onion. But they forgot that when they were walking, the tax masters were using horse whips to whip their backs and it was tearing their skin. The enemy erased that. All they were remembering was the garlic and the onion. They forgot. The enemy always wants to make it look like if you backslide, things will be better. They were not better. And they will never be better than when you come to Christ. Because you have hope. And with faith, you can do anything. Hallelujah. All right. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, not backslide, ye shall eat the good of the land. The next thing that you have to settle in your heart is the fact that what you seek is not in the hand of any man, but is with God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You will access it through Christ. Now, I'm not saying that God does not use men. I'm saying to find the right person at the right time to give you the kind of help you need is in God's domain. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. He said, for he shall be like the heat in the desert, that shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. What's a salt land? Do you know what the ancient warriors were doing? When they come to a place and they want to do massive destruction, they finish the place, they salt it down, so that you can plant anything and it grows. So as you're trusting in man, your eyes upon the man, your eyes not upon the Lord, things are not going to work. Now let's go to the next verse. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. So your eyes are upon the Lord. You're praying. You're in the place of prayer concerning this thing that you want to do. And God will tell you where to go. He said, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out his roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. When trouble comes, you will see. For her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's the man that trusts in God. And the first sign that you're trusting in the Lord is prayer. Prayer. I'm praying about it. Whatever it is, sow a seed of prayer. The foolish can become wise through prayer. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, don't waste your time going with, you know, in Africa, in those days, we plow with hoes. Please, could we have a picture of a hoe? How far can you go with it when there are tractors? The Holy Ghost is more than a tractor. Hallelujah. You need to see it. How many fields can you do with that? A lot of energy. That is what it is like. The person who's going around, you know, they pray in their senses all the time. Oh God, this. What do you know you're praying about? What do you know you're praying about? You're just talking. All you can remember is Walmart and all of that. And God, you know, and you can, you know, the kind of jobs you are looking for are just, they're not the kind of thing God will. God is looking at rich. You're looking at subsistent living. God is a God of abundance. His streets are made of gold. He's not a subsistent God. Sometimes the things we're asking for are too little for God. He said, I am El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Is there anything too difficult for me? Then you're asking him for something you can do yourself. So we pray God guides us. Because what you're looking for may not always look like it. God takes you to the place where everything you could ever dream of is in it. But you have to be in the right place. When you walk by sight, you put your confidence in the flesh. And the arm of flesh will fail you. Ask God, where do you want me to be? When he tells you, go there. Go there. It may not look like it. Go there. The other thing you need to settle is that what you seek from the Lord is still possible no matter where you are right now. God can turn the tide of battle if you trust in him or trust in his word, because trusting God's word is trusting God. No matter where you are. 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 22. I'll try to do a little bit of a background here. At this time, the Philistines had come against Israel. And there were no weapons in Israel. Only two people had weapons. Jonathan and Saul. Only two of them. Because the Philistines had overtaken Israel and made sure that there were no blacksmiths in the land to make weapons. So the siege was, you know, it was just a matter of time they wiped them out. It came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and Jonathan, his son, were there found. Now let's go to chapter 14, verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day after the siege was there, that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor bearer. He said, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. Now, and Jonathan, verse 6, all right, Jonathan said to the young man that bore his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of this uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. This is a mindset every warrior must have against the odds. He said, there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thine heart. Behold, we will pass over unto these men and will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. He was not trusting in himself. He was not trusting in the weapons he was carrying. His confidence was in the Lord, though the odds were against them. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the host where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer, said, come up unto us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto the armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord had delivered them into our hand. It brings tears to my eyes. He said, can you imagine? You're facing an army. It's just you. The armor bearer is there. You have one sword. And Jonathan climbed up with his hands upon his feet and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter with Jonathan, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men. Within as it were half an acre of land, which a yoke of oxen could plow. And there was trembling in the host. In the field and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled and the earth quaked. You see, because God was in the battlefield. The earth, you know, everything, pandemonium, there was problems. You know, everybody, you know, hallelujah. Their fears started working against them. Then God started causing an earthquake to take place. You can imagine. So it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. And they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now and see who's gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. Well, you can read the rest of it. I've told the real story here. They beat them, just two people. So it does not matter where you're coming from. Pick the word. Go to God in prayer. Start praying. You know, everything that can go wrong, and you will still win. If you're ready to pray in the spirit, you start from there. You get. I'm doing this thing new. I shut my door. You take the burden. The Bible says that he that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, this is when we know. You don't just get up and be saying, all things are working together for my good. Are you praying? You say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So as I'm praying, hallelujah, God is arranging things. He's, you know, he's a master. He's a master, you know, chess player, as it were. So he will put one, boom, put another, boom. The enemy will move and he will wipe the board. God knows what to do. The other thing is, it's not over until we win. Because we have won. What do we have to do? We have to show up. But Jesus already won the battle. But we have to show up and do what God says to do. From the advent of the church, hallelujah, the church was never diminished until it took over the world, the whole earth. That was the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. The stone that struck the statue at the feet is the church of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that that stone without hands grew and covered the whole earth. And thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. And it was, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the golden head. They didn't say golden head there, but I'm saying that the head of gold is actually what he's talking about. Broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Hallelujah. The church is not a losing team. We're a winning team. We already won. It's settled. We cannot lose. So in a battle, the Bible says that God always causes us to triumph. It's not over until we win. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's not over till we win. The war belongs to us. We have won. Victory is ours. Glory be to God. The fight is for the Lord. He gives us the strategy for the battle. Hallelujah. Amen. For thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. It's in God's hands. My next dream is also in God's hands. If, you know, sometimes some things can happen and you can't come up with a dream. So I go and start praying. When you pray, after a while, you will see. You will start seeing. You see a way out of Alcatraz. You will see a way out. Because there's a way. God makes a way where there is none. He's a way maker. He will make the way. He will set it up. He will make a way. And listen, even if you're crying, still pray. Some people think they just pray. You pray 5 minutes and that is it. Pray until you glow. Pray until a note of victory comes. We are not afraid of the enemy. Why? Because we have a big God. So when I'm praying, I'll start seeing. God will start showing you. And then you go. And as he's teaching you, he's telling you the things to do, you start doing them. You were abandoned with children, nobody there, and all of that. You're praying in tongues. You may be crying. You're taking them to school. Be praying, be praying, be praying, be praying. You're praying, you're praying. Then God will say, do this. After a while, tears will go and joy will come. Something will happen. Another thing will happen. And you're still praying. You're still praying. After a while, shouting will come. The note of victory will hit you. You ain't seen nothing physically, but in your spirit, you're confident that everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. So you're praying. Now, listen, the Bible said, they that are in Zion, they go from glory to glory. As you're talking in other tongues, you're moving. The Bible said, day by day, we are being transformed from one degree of glory in Christ Jesus unto the next. What is glory? The goodness of God, the presence of God, the activity of God, His presence. When God comes in, God never comes to a place and is messed up and God leaves it messed up. No. When He came to the earth at the beginning and it was messed up, God began to do something. As the Holy Ghost was trembling over the face of the waters, it was brooding over the face of the waters, God began to speak. That brooding is when you're talking in tongues, when you're praying in the Spirit. You're praying in the Spirit. You go restive. No curse can rest on the believer. It's not possible. No yoke can rest on you. It's not possible. The Bible says that it shall come to pass that the yoke shall be destroyed and the burden lifted because of the anointing. So there's no way you're going to be there. You're just, you know, you're frustrated. Life is not going well. There's no such thing for the believer. Except you're not living the Christian life.